The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly, I tell you, there no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off a cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Dear siblings in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to quote again from our hymn today. "Publish to every people, tongue, and nation that God in whom they live and move is love." I'm going to step down for a minute here. So we're kind of an intimate group today. God in whom we live and move is love. And that's what our lesson from 1 Corinthians has to tell us today. It's kind of ironic that Vince is the assisting minister this morning. We co-officiated at the weddings of not one, but both of our adult children this summer. And 1 Corinthians has been on our mind a lot. Again, if you haven't read 1 Corinthians for a while, go at least skim it. Because Paul is talking to a church that is young and trying to figure out who they are. And they're not always very nice to each other. And in chapters 9 and 10 and 11, he talks to them about their terrible manners at Holy Communion. That some people eat a lot, and some people would go with nothing. It was more like a meal for them. And he was chiding them in those chapters. And that's actually where many of us who grew up in the church got the notion that if we don't understand the bread and wine in our hands, we are taking condemnation upon ourselves. And what scholars started picking up on in the 1960s, honestly, it took this long to catch on for many churches, was that it's the body of Christ, not how the bread and wine turned to Jesus, but how this turns into the body of Jesus. Because that's the big miracle.
that people from all different perspectives can come together and be part of the body of Christ. Vince and I have been married for, well, this year will be 37?
Yes.
Years? He's better at math than I am. Much better. And we had 1 Corinthians read to us at our wedding 37 years ago. And the words are as true as they were in Paul's own time. He was very prophetic in saying what love and what love was not. And I want to start with what love is not for Paul. Love is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. And so when we find ourselves in those places, we have to repent because we're not being loving. And God, in whom we have our life and our being, is love. Why do people quote scripture about all sorts of things? But you all have been around me long enough to know it boils down to two things. Jesus commands, love God, love neighbor. And Paul got that. And 1 Corinthians is just a wonderful example of that. We call it the love chapter, and it is read at a lot of weddings, but it should be read more often in congregations. A reminder of what we are to each other, because as Paul originally intended, he wasn't thinking about weddings. He was thinking about his church people. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful. Love never ends. Everything else in the world will end. Prophecies, tongues, knowledge, all of these things will end. But love will not. And even as Paul describes all of the spiritual gifts, he says, in the end, there will be faith and hope and love. But the greatest of these is love. And so knowing what is love and what is not love is so critical for us as Christians. Love is lifting each other up. Even when we have disagreements. Of course, we never have disagreements.
Whatever you say, honey.
There was a time when Vince and I were first married, and we served as detached interns in two rural congregations in the far northwest corner of North Dakota. And Synod Assembly was 4 hours away. So his delegates, I'm sorry, from our employee members, and those from my congregation all hopped into one vehicle to drive 4 hours to Bismarck and 4 hours back. And I don't remember what was on the floor of the assembly. But Vince and I got up and spoke to opposite sides of it. He had a green card and I had a red card the other way around. And on the drive home, the people in our car were like, how could you disagree? And we said, we could disagree we know we love each other. We trust each other. And we both have the same end goal. But we think we can get at it from different directions. We can respect each other now. Yeah, 37 years later. We're okay. Love does not insist on its own way. So along comes Jesus in our gospel text. And we had this text last week if you watched it online. Jesus is just newly baptized. And he comes into his hometown synagogue. And he opens the scroll of Isaiah. And he reads these wonderful words about coming to set the oppressed free, to liberate the prisoners, to heal, to bind up. And people are all like, yeah, this is great news. And then he says, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And people are like, oh, wait, we know your parents. We know your parents. And then he starts telling them that this good news was not just for their little hometown group. He said, even in the olden days, when there was famine, Elijah came to a widow who was a foreigner and made sure she was well attended. And then Naaman the Syrian had leprosy. Now Israelites had leprosy too. But God healed Naaman, who was a commander in the enemy army. And the people were ready to throw him off a cliff. And the scripture says this quite literally. I grew up in a small town, I get it. And I had 22 aunts and uncles who all had an opinion about something. They wanted to throw him off a cliff. But the good news cannot be stopped. Jesus walked right through the midst of them and went on his way to preach and teach and heal, and to let the oppressed go free, to bind up the wounded. You can't stop Jesus even if you want to. And that's the good news for us today. The love of God cannot be crushed. Amen. Jesus' love could not be quelled even on a cross. So that we might live in love. I imagine you look around and you see a church that's not as big as it used to be. God is still here. And in Jesus, God's love cannot be crushed. Our task within ourselves, among ourselves, and to the larger community is to share that love of God in whom we live and dwell and have our being. That's all we're called to do. Live out the love of God. And God will take care of the rest. Love our neighbors. And God will take care of the rest. Worship God with open hearts, and God will take care of the rest. Because Jesus already has. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
receive the blessing.
God, who leads you in pathways of righteousness, who rejoices over you, and who calls you by name, bless your going out and your coming in, today and forever. Amen.